Welcome back to the newest installment of the Bull Time Investor. My name is Corey Marlowe, and I am joined today by my wonderful co-hosts, Mr. Adam Johnston and Scott Hartman.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We've got a very special guest today on the pod, Mr. Charles Alexander. Scott, do you want to hit the audience with a little bio about Charles?
I will. Charles has been a full-time business coach since 2007, resides down in the beautiful state of Tennessee. He's coached over 2,000 entrepreneurs to help grow their businesses while reducing workload, and has helped launch 250 businesses. He is a big work-life balance guy and kind of taking back your time, which is, we all for sure, prescribe to that, philosophy for sure. Owns a business also. He does our animated videos.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So every month our clients receive those and, nice timely messages. And, he's authored a book, Start Now, Quit Later. And he also has his own podcast, which is Do More by Doing Less for small business owners, startup, and busy professionals.
So. Charles, busy guy, man. Welcome. How are you?
I appreciate that. And I try to get rid of the busy term, even though that is, dude, that's so built into everybody's DNA. Anytime you see somebody heading chat over the wall, hey, Adam, how do you? Well, I'm just so busy. But I'm trying to not say that, because that's the thing I keep telling everybody else. We got to quit wearing that as a badge of honor. That's like saying, hey, how you been? Well, I just eat nonstop all the time. How are you? Well, I'm broke. I just spend all my money. But that's the same equivalent.
Sure. Yeah. Broke on time, right?
Yeah. So Charles, we got some questions for you today. So Adam, you want to get us started?
Yeah. So Charles, you've coached over 2,000 entrepreneurs since 2007.
Sure enough.
I guess the first question would be, what initially drew you to business coaching, and how's your approach evolved over the years?
That's a great question. It has evolved over the years. So initially, so full disclosure, I coach as a small business development center consultant. And it's one of the absolute best gigs anybody could ever have. We provide free one-on-one coaching for business owners in our community, also do workshops. What drew me into it is just that was a natural skill set for me. And I think a lot of folks think you have to have umpteen years of experience in whatever industry that you're working with, which, you know, helps, but is not always the case. Coaching, and this for anybody listening, you get ready to hire a coach. Listen, the years of experience, great. Certifications, fine. The degrees, the whatever else, all that's okay. But you've got to be able to pass a personality test. Like if I want to work with Scott, we got to be able to have a conversation where we both feel good about it. His qualifications don't matter that much. The being able to chat with somebody and pull stuff out of them does. So that's what drew me into it. I had a training background, got into this, loved it. Loved it so much last year, created a community instead of just doing one-on-one coaching. You know, I get to have both of those now, and how my coaching has evolved over the years. Golly, man, it's zigged and zagged all over the place. I'd say more than anything, I've had to learn how to become a better listener. And I guess you guys as advisors would know that as much more than anybody, because I've talked to many advisors who can academically run circles around everybody and then me not understand any of it. So they might be the greatest, portfolio manager known to man, but what good does that do if I don't understand what they're telling me? So I've had to learn to do that. And I've really changed a lot of my philosophy on what we're doing right now with automation.
Awesome. Yeah. And the videos are great. We get those, like Corey said, every month from you. Before focusing on the explainer videos, you started with website copy. what led you to pivot towards video content? Dude.
I fell backwards into it. So what was it? 10 years ago, I kept telling all of my clients, like, dude, y'all got to pay attention. Video, this is a thing. It's not going away, and it's going to increase. So 10 years ago, like 60-something% of the web was video traffic. You know, now it's whatever, 85-90%. So I thought, I don't have to have everybody listen to me. I'll just start doing my own. But before I got into that, I was writing website copy as a bit of a side hustle. And I would you know, I had this one CPA client of mine. Another good tip for anybody that's a business owner, when you do pricing, you know, just try to do it in tiered packages. And I know that might not always work with advisors, but for a lot of business service providers, it does provide a package, not necessarily by the hour. So for him, I had, you know, I'm going to write X number of blog posts, do social media posts. And I had these three tiered packaging and I wanted him to pick the middle one. Well, in order to anchor that, the highest price one, I said I'd make a video out of his blog. Well, that's the one he picked. Dude, I know how to make video. The only video I'd made at that point was for like my 1 and 3 year old's little movie maker video you can put together on a PC, which is, you know, a bunch of pictures with music over it. So I literally made this man a PowerPoint with my country bumpkin sounding voiceover. And as bad as that video was, it had outperformed like the blog posts that I'd made. Oh, well, I better figure this out. So I played with all the different bells and whistles and tools and got to the one where I use for you guys now. And I still have that explainer video business and it's, you know, cranking along. It's, you know, kind of fully automated, delegated. I write these scripts. And as you guys know right now, more than ever, the scripts are really built around trying to help folks eliminate a lot of news and headlines of concern from their minds and really kind of focus on their long-term horizon. But either way, to answer your question, Adam, dude, I had thought about it. I had played with the idea, but once I threw it out there and somebody picked up on it, I had to figure out how to do it.
Forced you to do it.
That's awesome.
I kind of want to piggyback off of off the explainer video stuff, because obviously that's predominantly, you know, how we utilize right. You and your services. And I guess, what kind of common mistakes do you see, you know, not necessarily advisors, but just business professionals in general? What kind of mistakes do you see them make when they started to create their own marketing videos? And how do you think that, you know, we can avoid that stuff?
Well, more than anything, let's say you're recording like we are now, a talking head video, and you see, I mean, an untold number of these, but so many of them. First of all, they don't have a script. And when I say a script, I don't mean writing out every single solitary thing you're going to say, but they hop on. And for the first 30 seconds, it's, you know, hey, guys, so here's the thing that I'm thinking today. And, you know, they're 30 seconds in. I don't even know why we're here. So they don't have a script. They don't tell enough stories. And I know you said not necessarily just for financial advisors, but those are one of the biggest offenders out there. But this could be for anybody, man. Any business owner that you have that's listening, stories connect better than facts and figures, you know, by double or tripling. It's not even close. There's tons of case studies out there that kind of prove it. I think one of them, Case Western, did a case study on a college foundation that was trying to raise money. And they were telling about every dollar you donate does this and this and this, and it helps the family and they get this. But they substituted that with a story of a little girl who was able to, you know, in a third world country who was, you know, now has clean water. Now that she has clean water, she feels good. And as she feels good, she can go to school. And as she goes to school, either way, that story outperformed. They raised tons more money with the story versus the actual facts and figures. So have a script. Tell a story, get to the point, have good audio. And that's one of the most important things. I know our phones are magic and we can do all the things with them. But right now, hopefully you guys can hear me loud and clear. Assuming I've got my mic turned on and it's not just a pretty thing sitting in front of my face, but we will tolerate a questionable video with good audio all day long. And then secondarily, we will not, you can have a Steven Spielberg produced video, but if the audio is bad, we're not paying much attention. And I know a lot of that, we do more captioning than ever before. And that's probably, you know, another mistake is that if you do a video, you've got to have a lot of stuff going on. Our attention spans are short. You'll notice with the animated videos I create for you guys, there's something happening, changing, moving every 2 to 3 seconds. That has to be. If I'm just standing and talking with no captions, no graphics, whatever, that people just, I mean, not kids. We always say kids, but Gen Xers, boomers, we're on to the next thing.
Well, I think too, especially for the videos that you create for financial partners, I mean, there's a sweet spot as far as timing and yep. attention span, right? And it for seems sure. like they're kind of all in that same line. I don't know if you do that on purpose, but a lot of times when I watch other marketing yeah. content from other people, it's like, all right, I'm in. And it's like, all right, well, we should have stopped this, you know, 2 minutes ago.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I have found it to be 90 seconds. And there's a ton of research and data that go into that. But I just kind of found out the hard way. I'd make some that are 45, 60 seconds, and it was kind of tough to get your message across. And then mm-hmm. I'd have advisors, agents, whoever else that, I've got a lot to say. I think it's going to have to be 3 minutes. All right, we got a 3 minute video. And then Corey watched in about 90 seconds in. He's like, nah,
shut it off.
you better have the a cure for some terrible disease. I'm gone. But that's, 90 seconds, that's our time frame.
Interesting.
I feel like you want it long enough to grab their attention and make them want more, but you don't want to try to sell the entire thing through the video.
100%. And so many folks want to give every single fact, figure, thing they know. Well, I need to give them this detail. Well, this is also important. Coaches are bad about this. Good Lord. You know, every coaching program out there right now has 15 details. One, if you jump into the so-and-so package, and then you'll get a one-on-one and you'll go to this and you get it. I mean, that's all great, but people, you know, they're buying based off emotion, right? They're justifying it with the facts that you give them later. It's almost like when you're, say, selling a house. When somebody buys a home, more than not, they're buying it based off of what they envision as, you know, fixing this emotion that they have. How many family members will be able to fit into the kitchen? Oh, the back patio overlooks a beautiful yard, and I'll be out here grilling. And then when somebody asks them later, they don't say any of those things. They say, well, I was in a good school district, and crime rate was really low there. They'll justify it with facts.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now just shifting a little bit more towards the coaching side, your mission includes helping entrepreneurs reduce their workload and achieve work-life balance. What strategies can you recommend for business owners to do more by doing less?
Oof. So, I mean, there's obviously several. I've got a little 7-step process, but really, man, the first thing for any of you guys, even you guys interview me right now, the first thing I would really recommend to anybody is you create a goal for what you want your work life to look like. Literally, all the way down, this is the number of days I want to work. This is the hours I want to work on those days. And then secondly, your next goal should be, what do I want to do with the time that I have that's not working? So if you have somebody who is hashtag hustle, hashtag grind 247, YOLO, this is all there ever is, I can't help them. And I don't want to help them. There's tons of other people out there. I'm working with a ton of small business owners, literally 10 and fewer employees, people that have it somewhat figured out. They got a little recurring income. They make enough to be happy, but they're stuck checking their friggin' laptop at 9 p.m. at night, or scrolling through email at their kid's game, or they're on a date with a spouse, but they, you know, wife's telling you about her day and your mind is completely on the podcast today. What? Oh, I should have asked this question, which I always think of that when I'm doing a podcast, because I never ask. I always think there's one other one. So those are the things I'm trying to help people with. So when you ask there's a bunch of steps, but I have come across, and this is a recent one, talking about a change in coaching, where I ask people to do this, because I've helped people create a 4-day work week, but we never figured out kind of what they really wanted their week to look like and then what they were going to do with their time off. So literally, if I ask you guys, Corey, Scotty, Adam, what are some things you guys like to do in your free time?
I mean, me?
Anybody. Yeah.
Not work. Yeah. Be with my family. Go to live music. Cook.
Lake time. Yeah, for sure.
Golf. Family, friends, gym. Yeah. Hiking is always a surprisingly popular one. I don't think people actually hike. I just think they like the idea of hiking.
Like to walk. They call it a hike. Yeah.
But the point is, so if I'm working with Adam later and we're trying to figure out, you know, he's telling me, Charles, I'm so busy. I got these 17 things I got to do today. Like, man, that's great. About 4 of them are your priorities. The other, you know, 13, you can do them. No problem. You can do them. But you also told me you wanted to spend more time with family. You wanted to coach Little League. You wanted to, you know, you got to get back into the gym. every time you say yes to one of these other things, you're saying no to that, because 24 hours a day is all, I mean, that's the great equalizer. So that's the first step. You figure out what you want your week to look like and what you want in your free time, then we always have something to anchor against. And then the next thing, Scotty, is that you don't necessarily start planning your calendar yet. You've got to figure out where your time is currently going. And that's also a recent change I have made and is non-negotiable. You guys would appreciate this. Have you ever met anybody who tried to do a personal budget, but they didn't know where their money was going first?
Yes.
How does that turn out?
It's not great.
No, man, I can tell you right now, I've got a family of five. And, if I go tell the wife, all right, I've checked the banking account and we're short every month. Here's the game plan. We're going to cut our groceries in half. We're going to spend $700 on groceries and $100 on gas, blah, blah, blah. All that's great. But if it doesn't come close to matching reality, we fall off the wagon very quickly. So when you do a budget, I used to would have said mint. I don't know what's replaced mint, but whatever. There's a dozen tools out there that will automatically categorize. So I can see how much I spend on groceries, on gas, on insurance, on fun activities. And then I can create a budget that is, you know, in according to that. If you try to start cutting your time or time blocking, but you don't realize you spend 3.5 hours a day on email, 5.5 on your phone, and then another, you know, 17 hours a week per in meetings, being able to create the time freedom you want isn't going to happen. You got to know that first.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of want to ask just from a professional standpoint, because we do all these podcasts and we have a blast doing it and we read all these books and, you know, we watch all this content and stuff. And what do you have any kind of professional books, professional podcasts that kind of significantly, you know, have influenced your approach to either coaching or the explainer videos or anything like that?
Yeah. Cal Newport. Anything he writes, I'm in on. This dude is a professor at Georgetown, but he's a New York Times bestseller. The book I read and reread during the pandemic was Deep Work. And a lot of what I teach now is solely focused or based off of a lot of what he kind of teaches. As a matter of fact, I remember I was rereading it, writing all into the margins. It looked like a crazy person if somebody ever got that book with all the ideas that I kept coming up with and how I'd always been like a time management guru, or at least I thought I had. And I realized I've been teaching this backwards for years. And on a specific day, I was at home trying to help clients through all these SBA loans, you know, PPP, EIDL, and the rules were changing every few seconds. And each kid, we were also learning to homeschool at the same time. Each kid was coming in and interrupting us one at a time. Daddy, I can't, the iPad didn't work. Well, you got to plug it in. Well, Daddy, I don't know how to get to Google Classroom. What's Google Classroom? I don't know either. The funniest part was putting my first grader on Zoom, which if you've ever seen 20 first graders on Zoom for the absolute first time, holy cow, that's hilarious. But anyway,
my life right
all,
now.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I got them all to leave me alone, but then I realized the entire rest of the day I couldn't maintain my focus because I let everything else in the world interrupt me, text and emails, whatever. To your question, that book, he also wrote Digital Minimalism, Slow Productivity, A World Without Email. And there's obviously several others, but I'm telling you that anything by Cal Newport, he also has a podcast, is great.
Awesome.
Good deal.
So this is kind of a more of a fun question, but if you could create an explainer video for any historical figure, who would it be and why?
Any historical figure, who would it be and why? Good Lord. So, so I'm hearing the buckle of the Bible Belt. We always say Jesus for everything, even if it's not the right answer. So I don't know what an explainer video for Jesus would look like. So we'll skip that. If it could be for any historical figure, I tell you what, it said a historical figure, but if you go look right now, I made one based off of Seth Godin without his permission, used his audio without his permission. But dude, that thing absolutely took off. Purple Cow. You guys ever read? You know, first, do you know who Seth Godin is? Because this will make the conversation better. If you don't, this sucks.
I don't think
I think you need to clue us in.
Yeah.
I was thinking Seth Rogen. Yeah,
Seth Godin. He's a marketing guru, has written all the bestsellers.
Got it.
If you ever hear his audio, you'll have heard him speak at some point. Great speaker. He wrote a book, Purple Cow, sold all the millions of books about how to be remarkable. And if you see a purple cow, you'll always stop on the road.
Sure.
And I took one of his TED Talks and animated it. And dude, that thing got, I don't know, however many tens of thousands of views. Other explainer video that really took off, not necessarily a historical figure, but my highest, the one I've got over 100,000 views on is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
I remember that.
One, again, yeah. again, redone without any permission whatsoever, but whatever. It really took off. So I don't know if those count as historical figures, but I already made those and I need
for sure.
Great idea, dude. I need to do more. Maybe I can do one on Larry Bird or some other athlete.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go.
That's awesome. Ask
any more questions for Charles here today? I know we're kind of rubbing up against it as far as time goes, but
so Adam, just real quick, the beginning of your book, Start Now, Quit Later, you reference a doll, Blanco, that your daughter got. You still have that doll.
Dude,
I thought that was a hilarious way to start the book, by the way.
I appreciate that. So I don't, you guys can see, this is what the doll is supposed to look like. It's a cute little thing, looks like an actual doll. And we ended up with this monstrosity instead. The point of me pointing that out, and this would be a good idea for anybody that wants to get it, you know, use a business service provider, whether it's a financial advisor or a business coach or an explainer video creator, make sure you know what you're getting into, because there's so much bait and switch now. It is horrific. That little story was about my 6-year-old daughter at the time wanted this doll, and my mother-in-law, bless her sweetheart, dude, she owns every as seen on TV product known to mankind. And look, this thing was not online. It was in a magazine. You know how bad it's got to be when you're scrolling through the end of a magazine and you can see this perfect doll. I knew it was not a good deal, but she paid $130 for it. And instead of it being like this real life baby doll, it looked like a daggum Chucky doll, except it was in our house. And yes, we keep that thing around. And I used to chase the kids around with it, you know, doing a little voice.
You can't get rid of it. It'll come back. Yeah,
I was gonna say. Yeah, yeah. You toss her in the trash, and she's sitting in the bar stool staring that's at you right. when you walk back in the house.
Yeah,
that's great. Awesome stuff. Well, Charles, thank you again for joining us today. We really appreciate you and everything you do for us at Financial Partners with the explainer videos, and it's awesome. It's awesome content, and you know, I know our clients love it too, because we've gotten lots of feedback over the years. So
for sure.
We really appreciate it. And we're going to wrap it up today, guys. So once again, thanks everybody for joining us on the Bull Time Investor. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Good boys.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC.